The irony of all ironies is that today, as we talk, the democratically elected leader is jailed, and the tyrannical, the despot who ruled Egypt with an iron fist is released from jail. How do we explain these turn of events? What is happening in Egypt is a reflection of what is happening globally in the Muslim world. The president of Egypt, as we all know, belongs to the Muslim Brotherhood, Ikhwan al-Muslimin. And the Ikhwan al-Muslimin was established in 1928 under the leadership of Hassan al-Banna. And Hassan al-Banna was assassinated by an unknown gunman in 1948. But at the time of his assassination, the Ikhwan al-Muslimin was about 2 million strong. And the ideology of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin spread to various Muslim countries. The Ikhwan al-Muslimin were then blamed in 1954 for the failed assassination of Gamal Abdel Nasser. And there was a repressive response to this failed attempted assassination. And at that point, the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, or the Muslim Brotherhood, was then banned in Egypt. And during their time underground, one of their most prolific scholars by the name of Sayyid Qutb redefined the movement. The movement originally began as a social and welfare organization. But under the leadership of Sayyid Qutb, he introduced political activism and said, no, you cannot revive and you cannot hope to establish a Muslim country anywhere on the globe without jihad. So what was previously a social, a welfare movement, now reinvented itself and became a movement aimed at opposing the British colonial presence in the area. However, Sayyid Qutb was also assassinated in 1965. And ever since, the Muslim Brotherhood, or the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, operated establishing schools, madrasas, clinics, etc. And eventually, in 1980, it decided, under various guises, to enter mainstream politics in Egypt. So it entered into alliances with various groups, and that is how it resurfaced as a political movement in Egypt. And it was banned until what we know, or what is called as the Arab Spring, which saw the despot Hosni Mubarak been removed, the Ikhwan al-Muslimin unbanned, and eventually elections took place, and Mohammed Mursi was then installed as the head or the president of Egypt. But barely under a year, we have the entire political process reversed, where Mohammed Mursi now sits in jail, and where Hosni Mubarak is released from jail. Some people say that the army has come back to take political control of Egypt. But the army had never left or had never relinquished political control of Egypt. If there is one entity on the globe, there's a famous saying that if there's one economic entity on the globe that owns everything from needles to rockets, it is the army in Egypt. 40% of the Egyptian economy is controlled by the army. There is hardly a sector within the economy where the army does not have its hand. The army is also beneficiary to $1.5 billion annually from American aid. And when the coup took place and the U.S. Senate took a vote, 86% of those present voted against withholding this $1.5 billion of aid that was extended or that is extended to the American to the army in Egypt. Since 2008, a pipeline under the sea, a 100-kilometer pipeline has been laid from Egypt into Israel. And 40% of Israel's gas comes from Egypt. So if Egypt is destabilized, it directly impacts on the existence of Israel. Hence, you find the military aid to the army, you find the various regimes propping up what is otherwise, or what would in normal circumstances be regarded as a coup. But where does all this leave us as Muslims? There are very, very profound lessons for us, even though we sit at the bottommost part of Africa. Firstly, we should never, never despair. Allah says, إِيَّمْ سَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. This verse was revealed on the occasion of the Battle of Uhud, where Muslims had initially suffered defeat, where there were 70 martyrs. Muslims were demoralized, and amongst the martyrs was the very uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hamza radiallahu anhu, whose body was mutilated beyond recognition. Muslims were at the lowest ebb, demoralized. And this verse was revealed saying, "Iyamsaskum qarhun," if you today are suffering a wound, if you are suffering defeat, فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ, remember that nations other than you also suffered defeat. In other words, your Islam is no guarantee that you will always prevail, and disbelief is no guarantee that you'll be vanquished. Allah says, "Tilkal ayyam nudawiluha bayna nas." These are the days of victory and defeat that we rotate amongst humanity. Sometimes Muslims would be, as they were in Spain, at the pinnacle of their glory for 800 years. And then they would be, as we are today, at the bottommost pit of degradation and humiliation. But Allah says, why does He allow this to happen? This, as Allah says in another verse, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah would not leave the Muslims as one single entity until within the Muslims, يميز الخبيث من الطيب, He's going to separate the pure from the impure. He's going to separate those who really believe from those who have a nominal belief. And this is the internal separation within the Muslim Ummah that we are seeing right now. What we see throughout the globe is a sad reflection of the disunity of the Ummah. Allah says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. If you're going to fight among yourselves, fragment yourselves, be disunited, you're going to become faint-hearted and you would lose your status as a global power. Therefore, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once prophesied and said, سَتَكُونُ الْفِتْنَةِ, that there will be such trials that would come, تَسْتَنْذِفُ الْعَرَبِ, that will wipe out the Arabs as a global force. But قَتْلَهَا فِي النَّارِ, those that would die and be killed, they'll be flung into the fire because they'd be fighting for wrong reasons. So this has been prophesied by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But what is more concerning, one is the lack of unity in the Muslim world and our own disunity. You know, when we break ourselves into enclaves and pockets, it's going to remove and take away the power of the Ummah. Secondly, what is very concerning is that wherever the Arab Spring took place, and when there was a Muslim agenda, where people at the helm tried to establish or bring back the Quran or the Sharia, they faced resistance from Muslims themselves. Forget the enemy, forget the involvement of third forces. It is Muslims themselves that brazenly stood up and still stand up, saying, we do not want Islamic Sharia. We do not want an Islamic system of governance. What does this tell us? It is the limited understanding of what it means to be Muslim. Can you, on the one hand, declare the Shahada and at the same time refuse to be governed by the dictates of Shahada? And Allah refers to these type of people. Allah says, "Afi qulubihim marad." There are three reasons why people would resort and openly, despite claiming to be Muslim, still say, we don't want the Sharia, we don't want the Quran, we don't want the Islamic political governance. Allah says, "Afi qulubihim marad." Is there the disease of hypocrisy in their hearts? Two, amir tabu. Or do they doubt that what we have is divinely revealed and which is able, which is relevant to the day and age that we live in? Or is there doubt that the dictates and the precepts of the Quran are no longer relevant to the time and age that we live in? And thirdly, Allah says, "Am yakhafu," or is it that they fear that Allah and His Rasul are oppressive in the Sharia that they have designed for the Ummah? Am yatabu, am yakhafuna an yahif Allahu wa Rasulu? Do they fear that by subscribing to political Islam, by subscribing to the dictates of the Quran, they're going to be oppressed by Allah and His Rasul? Nay, they are the wrongdoers. They are the oppressors. So we've seen this kind of call in various hot spots around the globe, where people, despite reading the Shahada, refuse to be governed by the Shahada. We should be asking ourselves at the micro level, in our own personal lives, are we not guilty of the same? And lastly, what the entire Arab Spring has demonstrated is that the Muslims have no leadership. Muslims have no ideology. There is this vacuum. But through this vacuum, inshallah, where Allah talks about that group of people who are told that inna an-nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum, that people have amassed and are conniving against you, and be on your guard. Instead of losing heart, Muslims, those that are convinced, their faith will be increased by what they see around them, and they would be called out and say, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil," that Allah is sufficient for us, and He is our disposer of affairs. We do not place trust and do not lose heart based on what we see. We know that the destiny of every individual and the destiny of this ummah unfolds according to the grand plan and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our response is, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." Allah is sufficient for us. He is the disposer of affairs. And what we see around should be drive us to introspect. What is our personal commitment to Islam as an individual? Are we guilty of one of these three things? Do we doubt the message of Islam? Do we suffer from the disease of hypocrisy? Do we believe that the Quran and the Sharia are no longer relevant to the day and age that we live in? We have to resolve our problems outside the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. So whilst it is extremely painful to see events unfold, we should not lose heart, and the events should call and, you know, introspection, call for introspection. What am I doing as an individual? Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.